I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Nick Spike. Nick is currently the Senior Vice President for Thuzio Executive Club and manages the East Coast sales, service, and operations teams. Thuzio Executive Club provides over 300 member accounts and their guests with the most memorable business events of the year. Prior to joining Thuzio, Nick worked in the inside sales program at the New York Jets, premium sales with the New Jersey Devils, and suite and partnership sales with the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Nick is a graduate of Penn State University. He is the co-author of Onuskevich, Paintings and Sculptures, 1945 to 2001, a catalog raisonné, and collaborated with his father, art historian John T. Spike, on the catalog raisonné of the paintings of Gregorio Preti. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, David. I really appreciate you having me on.
It's great to have you, and let's start off by talking about what you think are the most important ingredients to smash a plateau in business or in life.
One of my biggest case points of getting through the plateau, I think, is time management. There is such a finite amount of time on Earth today, and every single day we are constantly asked by both our personal and our professional sides of our lives to use that time, and how we put it to use is essential in our smashing the plateau, as you so put it. We want to make sure that every single moment that we're here, whether it's in the office or at home, we are using our time in the most creative and useful way possible so that we are achieving our goals, whatever goals that may be you set. Whatever sales goals I have within the club or whatever personal goals I have with spending time with my wonderful wife and newborn, I want to make sure that my time management, and obviously included in personal as your friends and all the other things that you go on in life, going out to dinner and such, that you want to put your time to good use because time is such a finite item here on Earth. I recently did another podcast and I talked about the biggest commodities, time, because we all constantly may ask for money and everything costs something. But one thing that is universal wherever you are in the world is time. So however you use it, that's the way you should put it to use.
Wherever you are in the world and whoever you are, we all get 24 hours in a day.
Correct.
We can make more money. We can spend more money. We can make less money, spend less, lose more, lose less. But time is finite. You're so right. So what are some of the keys that you recommend to people who feel stuck that they can take advantage of in order to do a better job of time management?
I think for a lot of people, simply writing it down, that process helps a lot. I think in today's technological world, where we're constantly staring at screens all day long, whether it's your iPhone or whatever Android phone you may use, or your computer or your television, there's millions of different applications out there that help you kind of sort through it. It's just about finding one that's good for you. Up until actually my career, I was, as you said, I went from sports, and now I work at Thuzio, which has kind of started in sports, but now we're really just an entertainment event platform. I had not used the calendar. And as my career progressed, as I got better in my job and I had more responsibilities, I realized I really needed to use a calendar for both my personal and professional life. Otherwise, I would not know where I needed to be. And so the calendar that I check every single morning, and thanks to Google, I get an alert at 5 a.m. that tells me everything that I have going on that day. I think that's been a great way of me setting precedent of what I have going on for that day and that week. And that way I can and use it appropriately. And then also having those goals in mind. So whether you have a quarterly goal or you have an annual goal, I know in sales we have obviously very factual numbers that we have to make sure that we are watching. Those constantly evolve over time. And so you're watching them grow over time, hopefully grow. And so that's the two methods that I really use. Is I've gotten much better time management on the calendar side. And I've used time as a barrier, as a setter for my sales goals for me and my team, so that we make sure that we know where we stand today, where we stand in a week, where we stand in a month, where we stand in the quarter, where we stand in the 6 months, and where we stand in the year. And so visualizing time is probably what I'm getting at. That's a great tool to help you.
Right. So what I'm hearing is there's the planning part, there's an execution part, and there's also an analytical part or management part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And if you were advising somebody who feels like, let's take a scenario where somebody feels really overwhelmed. That's a pretty common one, particularly for business leaders. They know that there are things they need to change in order to generate greater success. It's true for people in sales. It's true for people in any kind of leadership role. They know there are activities they need to, either new activities they need to start or maybe some changes they need to make in current activities. And if you start thinking about all the things that that are currently problems and you want to fix, it can be overwhelming. And in some ways, it might seem like just time is your enemy. You have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think what you said is the key word there is you're a business leader. By leader, you're obviously somebody that's leading a team, right? So one of the biggest things that you have to do is, as a leader, and it's one of the hardest, because you always believe, if you're a very confident and successful individual, you always believe you can do everything best, right? So I can sell this person best, I can accomplish this best, I can move this best, I can talk to this person and convince them to do this. Whatever you think you may need to do or change or fix, you always think you can do it best. But part of being a leader and how it will certainly improve your day, and instead of having just your 24 hours, you have to use your team wisely. Know their strengths, know what they're interested in, know what they're not interested in, what they won't do to the fullest of the extent, but obviously apply them where necessary to improve the common goal for the team. So I have a whole team over here that we put together these 140 incredible events every single year across 5 markets in the United States. There's a lot of moving parts. I know what part of my team is great at certain things and what part of my team is not so great at certain things. And I use them because I can't possibly do it on my own, or I feel that overwhelming feeling. But I use my team in appropriately and successfully and collaboratively, because it's all part together. You're one team, right? Not, there's no I in team, classic sports thing. And so you have to make sure that everybody's doing, using their time appropriately, that all the goals for the company, what you need to be fixed, is getting addressed. And it's not something that's going to get done immediately. Nothing is so instantly gratificational. There is one thing, but we shouldn't talk about that for a different podcast. But you really have to make sure that you're constantly moving in the right direction all together, and that everybody's helping each other. That's what makes up a good team.
So as a leader, where you're influencing your team members, what have you found is some good strategies to implement with regard to time management?
Sharing calendars is huge. Everybody here at Thuzio, for the most part, has a shared calendar so that we all know what each other is doing throughout the day. And if you're not here, then I look at your calendar and I know where you are. And so that's whether you're using the time appropriately or not. I think it's also making sure that we plan. I don't love meetings. I don't think having continual meetings all the time, all day long, is actually helping. You're having a meeting to plan another meeting to get to the next meeting. Why do that? So what you need to do is you sit together, you collaborate all day long, you're in each other's, constantly in each other's face, you know what I mean? Like, you're always next to each other, so you really get a sense of what's going on. Our office is a completely open layout. Our CEO sits next to our CFO, across from our CFO, who sits next to the accountant, who sits across from the sales team on the other side of the business, who sits next to the sales team on my side of the business. Everybody's within a 25-foot radius on an open layout floor, and obviously conference rooms on the outside if you want to do interviews or obviously sales meetings and so forth. And having that proximity helps each other justify the use of our time, because we know what we're doing all the time. So you can listen to each other's calls, you can see what each other are talking about. And so that's been a very useful implementation. That's why I really like this new evolvement towards that open office layout.
Yep. Yeah, and also given the fact that as a leader you are influencing other people, I know that part of the philosophy behind the business that you're in currently with Thuzio has to do with influencing people. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, Thuzio is in the business of influence. We have two different lines of business currently. Half our company is called Julius, which is a software database where we have listed over 50,000 commercial profiles, I call them, for influencers. And influencers, anybody that you can name off the top of your head, from Tom Brady to Tom Cruise to Taylor Swift to also an incredible amount of digital influencers, they're called, that are sharing their ideas and obviously using for marketing spend on the social platforms. And so we have a lot of what you have to do is subscribe, whether you're a brand or an agency primarily, you subscribe to Julius to use it as a SaaS platform to better implement your digital marketing influencer spend. On the other side of the business, which is one I work on, it's called the Thuzia Executive Club, was created 3 years ago now in January. What we realized was quickly that people were using our first version of Thuzia, where we booked on-demand athletes. Like one of our co-founders is Tiki Barber. So you could swipe your credit card, pay Tiki $5,000, have him show up to your birthday party or bar mitzvah. But what really was useful, we saw anybody on the sell side of business wanted to bring Tiki Barber to their next lunch or dinner. So instead of doing tickets, dinners, and golf outings, which are the most common form of corporate entertainment that everyone has been to thousands of, if you have a client that's a massive New York Football Giants fan, you could say, hey, instead of going to spend 6 hours in the cold at MetLife, and luckily the Giants are good so you can watch them win, or why don't we go have dinner with Lawrence Taylor at a steakhouse in Midtown? What do you think the client's going to choose? Everybody chooses dinner at a steakhouse in Midtown with Lawrence Taylor. He's all unbelievable. And so that's what we did. So now we host these events. Started in New York, now we're in Philadelphia, Chicago, San Francisco, and LA, multiple events in multiple markets, where our members, whether it's an individual small business owner all the way up to AXA, for example, they send their employees, clients, and prospects, and they come to our events in order to give their most memorable business night of the year, because that's what influence is. If you go to a football game or a baseball game, a lot of times if you ask that same person that you went with 2 weeks later, no one will remember who they played or who won the game. But if you come to dinner with Lawrence Taylor, a year from now, you'll still remember the conversation or the crazy stories Lawrence told you. And so that's the influence that we're trying to contribute. And part of what I believe is influence is relationship building. And what we're trying to accomplish in business is help businesses grow their relationships, both internally and externally. So we've seen a lot of companies use this for growth of their sales teams as a reward or recruitment, or just making sure that their employees have a fantastic night instead of giving them the usual $200 Amex gift card. Or it's obviously client development. So bringing a prospect or a current client, going out to dinner, having an incredible time, listening to awesome stories. A couple nights ago, we had Charlie Ward, who was a Heisman Trophy winner at Florida State and a point guard for the Knicks. He was awesome. He had such great stories that not just about playing football or basketball, but about leadership and about how he used his potential and grew and became a better athlete, which we can all relate back to the business world. And so those are stories and commonalities that we see constant feedback from our members that they've really bonded with their clients or whoever their guest may be. And that's our influence. That's what we're trying to do.
Right. And what's the connection between the influence that's done through events that have some celebrities attached to it with members interacting with other members?
So, well, the interesting part about the room, which makes it different than your normal, which I actually hate attending networking event, is it's not about throwing business cards, like making it rain business cards. What it's about is everybody in the room kind of has a common thread, right? So like if you went to that Charlie Ward event, you were maybe a Florida State football fan, maybe a college football fan, maybe a Knicks fan, maybe a basketball fan. So there's always this kind of thread that whoever you meet in the room, you can kind of start the conversation on a very level playing field. Then what happens is the way we set it up is there's always content. So there's a cocktail hour before, there might be a cocktail hour after, but in the middle is what we call content. And that would be a Q&A between a lot of times Tiki himself does the interview in New York, or a great member of the media does question and answer with Charlie, because we know that Q&A is the best way to keep the audience engaged and get the best content out of whoever the talent is. Because not a lot of people can give a 45-minute keynote, but everyone can answer Q&A, kind of like I'm doing right now. And so that content is then driven through the room. There's obviously Q&A from the audience as well. And after the event, you can connect and talk about it and discuss it and figure out, what did Charlie Ward learn from playing with Coach Fisher? Or not Coach Fisher, Coach Bobby Bowden. He learned this. And what did he learn from playing? He played under Pat Riley at the Knicks and so forth. And so those are the influence that we see stemming from the talent to the members and then from the members and guests to each other. They're influencing conversation with each other around sports, which is a great common thread that's non-confrontational, as well as leadership.
Nick, what are some of the unexpected outcomes that you've seen since this program has started?
One thing that I did not expect to happen is we've seen a bunch of members come together and create businesses, side businesses, or not really just like not companies, but like they saw an alliance, like somebody's insurance, real estate, and accounting, and they knew that their three clientels matched very well. They'd never seen each other before through the Executive Club event, but somehow, some way they can work together. And so that forge of a relationship, which happened not because we introduced them or because simply they were in the same room, but just naturally. Because they kind of like walked about and they saw their guests. And what I always say to a lot of people that are trying to join is the coolest way to go about the Executive Club is don't join just to attend the events yourself or use it for just straight up business development. It's very important that you bring people to the events because the guests that come to the events talk to other members or are able to reach out to other members, which is now making a different connecting thread. What I've also obviously heard a lot of times is just the stories. Like I have a client that had brought a big client of his that he could never get out to an event. Like he invited him to tons of tickets, gave him tons of different things. And then he invited him to one night with, I think it was the 86 Mets. And he was a huge Mets fan. He came, it was, Ron Darling and might be Mookie. And so they came out to the event and they had a great time. And then for 6 months or 7 months after that event, that guy and our member continued to talk about that nonstop, back and forth, just about that event. And their relationship, he told me, grew tremendously because they had this commonality where they attended an event together, they bonded over the event, they had a couple drinks, that always helps. And now they talk 86 Mets still to this day.
Wow.
So, there you go.
What do you think some of the hardest obstacles are to overcome in relationship building today? Because we have... relationships are relationships. They've always been relationships. They always will be relationships. Some of the things that have changed in the way people interact, both in business settings and in personal settings, is all of the technology that we currently have. And I wonder what you've observed in terms of how challenging it may be to develop good relationships in just in our world today in general.
I think you bring up a great point. Today, and especially you see it in the youth, everyone texts. Everyone looks at their exchanges snaps, or everyone's DMing each other on Insta, or sending each other Facebook messages. And the face-to-face, actually even just a phone call is strange to people. Like I have friends who I might call up every once in a while, and they're like, why are you calling me? Just text me. And I'm like, dude, I'd rather just hear your voice, like a normal human. Sounds abnormal to some people, even my, let's call it a little bit older generation. And what actually this, I think this barrier of communication, which is happening today, where everyone prefers to kind of distance each other, not even with a voice, and certainly not face-to-face, has made it better and certainly improved the chances for anybody out there who's outgoing enough to be so open to talking to people, right?
Right.
If you're somebody that's willing to get out there and you're not afraid to walk into a room by yourself, which today people are crazy and scared to do, and you're willing to just go up to anyone and talk to them and shake their hand and say, hey, I'm Nick. This is what I do. What do you do? What do you do? Oh, great. And then a conversation ensues. You'll build a very strong relationship with all the other like-minded people that are out there like yourselves because you're willing to take that next extra step and use a face-to-face meeting, face-to-face conversation. So what's become a barrier to so many, or what people feel more comfortable doing, which is retreating behind the screen, if you're somebody that can take advantage of the flip side of that and be on the other side, it's actually a positive. And obviously, I'm definitely one of those. I love meeting people. And if you can seize that opportunity, you'll be ahead of the game, which is great. I like it.
That's great. That's great. Nick, you have a really interesting background. You and I talked a little bit about this before we started recording, combining sports and what you currently do with relationship building and events, and also a background in the arts. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how that has come to pass, come to fruition, and what you may see as some of the benefits of the various sides of your own personality and skill sets.
Yeah, it all starts because I was lucky enough to have a father who was a great art historian. His name is John Spike. And an awesome mom who was willing to follow him. And we moved to Italy when I was 6 years old. So I grew up in Florence from 6 to 18. And despite living in Italy, where soccer is prevalent, and I'm a huge soccer fan, Forza Viola, But I really maintained my love of American sports and stayed up late into the night to watch those Jordan 90s teams. And when I was 14, I saw Jerry Maguire, which is still to this day probably my favorite movie. And I said, if I can't be an athlete, then I just want to work on the business side of sports. I went to Penn State, which is a great institution. We're obviously very excited about the Rose Bowl. We are. And I studied sports journalism and English, continuing on that sports path. And then when I graduated school, I didn't actually find a job in sports. What I found was what everybody finds is the easiest way to get a job is through who you know. I knew my dad. And so I became an art dealer for a little while, working for a great map dealer in New York City named Graham and Rader. And then quickly, though, realized what I really wanted to do was work in sports and went to Seton Hall for an MBA in sports management and found my way back into the sports world. In the meantime, between those stages, I did write a couple books with my dad also in the art world. Anybody that knows me knows that I would say a Renaissance man in that I know a little bit about a lot. And I'm always, always, always interested in finding out more about anything. So if I meet somebody who's an expert in their field, I am very curious to find out why they're an expert in their field and how much do they know and what can I use with that. And I think part of my knowledge and extent of knowledge has been tremendously helpful in my sales career because that's actually how I establish relationships. So it depends on what you're interested in. I can find a commonality. And that's really how strong relationships are built. That's why I believe in the Thuzio and the Thuzio Executive Club is because when you bring somebody to an event, one of our events, then you obviously have found out that they're a fan of the 86 Mets or they're a fan of Lawrence Taylor and the New York Football Giants or they're a fan of the Knicks or they're a fan of the Rams or they're a fan of the Chicago Bulls or they're a fan of golf or they're a fan of tennis. And that commonality has allowed you to expand your relationship from just selling A to C. Instead, you can now have a conversation outside of that workspace and talk about something else that interests the two of you. And that's really been useful in my career. And I've always sold against relationships about trying to not just have clients, but have friends and have people that I'd like to hang out with anytime, any place, any day of the week, not just at our events or not just at the Jets game or not just at the Barclays Center.
Nick, it's really great to hear how you understand how you're the different elements of your background fit together to support what you're currently doing. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've been lucky. People tell me all the time, do you know how lucky you are? I say yes. So
now looking to the future, what do you dream to achieve?
My permanent dream of my career where I would be like, finally, I sat down at the desk and looked at my office and said, this is what I wanted to always be, would be president of an NFL football team. On the business ops side. I actually worked originally he's still involved in Thuzio, a man named Matt Higgins, who works closely with the owner of the Dolphins, Stephen Ross, who are RC Ventures or backers of Thuzio. And I saw Matt do his job so well while I worked very, very, very below him at the New York Jets that I always thought of that kind of as an inspiration. And there's only 32 of those jobs, as you obviously can tell, because that's the amount of teams. So that's a lofty aspiration and goal that I'm still going to set my mind to. I know that if I continue to grow Thuzio and the executive club, I've gotten in at the ground level and we've done tremendous growth over 50% every single year, year to year, 3 years running. Now we're actually trying to go for the 100% in the next year. And we could really see expansion from 5 markets to 8 markets to 10 to 20 to 30. And that's a story that if I'm able to tell will allow me to do whatever I'd like to do in the future. I think it's important to focus on your short-term, your mid-term, and your long-term goals. And so that's what I do.
That sounds great. Sounds great and great tips for people in our audience. Nick, whom do you know personally who's been successful at smashing plateaus?
I can't wait to have him listen to this, but I've always admired a guy named Scott McGregor. He was a client of Thuzio before I even got to Thuzio, really believed in Thuzio. He was a sales leader, so a VP of sales for a tech company, IT company, and he was always fantastic. He's such a really personable, nice individual, really liked coming to work every day and did a really good job for his company. And then his company decided to go in a different direction one day. And so we kept in touch, always talking. And I was like, no matter what, Scott, I know you're going to do a great job of whatever you want to do. And what he realized that he wanted to do, and he was kind of at a point where he had to pick and choose what do you really want to do? What do you want to wake up in the morning and do? Is he created his own company. It's called Something New. And it's a recruiter company mainly for sales and marketing individuals, but different because he knows that what happens in recruiting is people just care about the final dollar sum. That's what recruiting is all about. pool together, smash everybody together into pieces, and then try and spread them out to all these companies and all these requests. But his side of the business, what he builds on is relationships, not just finding great individuals and placing them one time, but finding great individuals that you can continually work with and talk to and support even when they're past you got them the gig, and then making sure that they succeed there. And not just the individual, work on the team side. So continually build great relationships with awesome companies that are either in growth stage or established, and make sure that they're hiring great people. And so he's really, he sends the best Christmas cards and gifts every single year to his entire network. And he invested not only his time, but obviously his money as well, into creating something different, which has now succeeded, as you can tell if you follow him on LinkedIn. He's huge on LinkedIn. And he's back to being a member of the executive club. So he's obviously succeeding there, and he supports us tremendously. And so I want to support him. And I think he's done an awesome job of setting his ideas, finding something that he really wanted to do, different from what he was starting, but sit within the same field and not being bummed out by what happened, but pushing forward. So Scott McGregor, you're my Smashing the Plateau.
Yeah, Scott sounds like a great example. Thanks for sharing that. And what can we look forward to from you, Nick, in the near future?
Well, hopefully you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Nicholas Spike on LinkedIn. You can send me an email, nspikeenthusio.com. I'd love to talk to you more about the Executive Club. As a sales guy, that's all I can ever say is there's always more sales out there. And so if you want to hear more about what we do, feel free to reach out. We are really excited about expanding. So we have these 5 active markets with tremendous feedback and members. I'm very excited in the next year to go to Boston, Miami, and Dallas. And so that's really what's on my short-term goal for Thusio in the next year.
That sounds great. Well, Nick, it's been great having you on today, talking about how to overcome some of the things that really can limit you from smashing the plateau, particularly getting in control of your time and the time of the people you influence. That was actually a great way to start off. I really appreciate that. So thanks so much for coming on the show today. My guest today has been Nicholas Spike, Senior Vice President of Business Development at Thusio. Thanks again, Nick, for joining us.
Thanks, David, for having me.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.